look at your neighbor or look at someone close to you and say, God is so good. Amen. Just want to read a verse here from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's actually just three verses. Starting with verse 6, says this, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully." So our reaping is in proportion of our sowing. Is that correct? All right. "Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity or under compulsion, for God loves what type of giver? Cheerful." Amen. "And God is able to make all grace," say all grace.
All grace.
He's going to take all grace and it's going to abound toward you. Abound means increase, doesn't it? "That you always," say always,
always,
"having all sufficiency," say all sufficiency,
all sufficiency.
"In all things," all right, "may abound to every good work." So all grace, all sufficiency, and all things are going to be yours. So be a sower and you'll be a grower. Amen? I'd like you to go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm kind of moving out, getting closer a little bit to you tonight. Is that all right? If it's not, it's too late anyway. I'm already here. John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Say, all things. Okay? "And without Him was not anything made that was made." And then go down to verse 14. And it says, "And the Word," it's the same Word that was in the beginning, the same Word that created everything, the same Word that was with God. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So tonight I want to talk about how the Word affects you. Amen? Did you know that the Word will affect you? It will impact your life greatly. If you didn't know it by now, I really have a passion for the Word. I love the Word. And there was a time when I fell in love with the Word, and my love has grown and grown and grown. And even in teaching, you know, there were times when Jesus was just teaching and miracles happened. Say miracles.
Miracles.
You know, we don't always have to lay hands on people to have a miracle. Miracles can occur just wherever the Word is going forth and is being received. So how will the Word affect you? Well, that depends on you. Amen? Go with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And we're going to talk about how the Word will affect you. In my meditation today, this is just how the Lord led me. Let's begin with verse 22. "The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son." Well, we know the Son is the Word, right? So the Word really is going to judge us. Our standard of living is the Word. Any gift of the Spirit that occurs is secondary to the Word. The Word has preeminence. It didn't say that the gifts of the Spirit were there in the beginning, even though the Holy Spirit was there. Okay? For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son. All men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. Well, if we don't honor the Son, we're really not honoring what? The Word. Because the Son and the Word are one. Okay? Verse 24. Verily, verily. Notice, he uses two verilies. The law of double enunciation. That means this is a law that's fixed. All right? Truly, truly. Simon, Simon. There were times when Jesus would repeat people's names, and he did that on purpose. It wasn't because he stuttered. It was a reason. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, because him and the word are one. What happens when you hear the word and believe on him? What does it say happens? What do you have? Okay? You have everlasting life, eternal life. All right? Eternal life comes from hearing and believing. And you shall not come into condemnation, but you pass from death to life. Okay? And verse 25 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Well, that could be spiritually dead people, right? Not it could be physical, but it's spiritual death. People who are dead, and they hear the word, and they come alive. Something happens. So our response to the word will determine how the word will affect us. How we honor the word. How we listen to the word. How we handle the word. All right? Because the word is everything. God will not do anything apart from his word. His word is eternally fixed in heaven. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, what? Will not. Everybody say, will not. The word will not pass away. It's a firm foundation. Okay? The word will keep you. The word will heal you. The word will prosper you. The word will give you peace. Everything that is in this book is yours. Say, it's mine. All God's promises are yes and amen. They're for you. And the more knowledge we have, the more we're able to participate or to partake of his divine nature. We become, you know, we've been qualified to share in his nature. How do you share in his nature? When you let the word get in you, and that word gets in you, how do you know if it's in you? Well, it's going to come out of your mouth. If the word's in you, it will come out in two ways. What you say and what you do. That's the only way that you can tell if the word is in you. All right? So how will the word affect you? What kind of effect does the word have? You know, the Amplified says, those persons who are open to my words. You know, not everybody's open to the word. There's a lot of stuff out there. There are a lot of Christians that don't even read the word. They don't take a daily intake of the word. What's going to happen to someone that doesn't take in the word daily? They're going to become weak spiritually. This is our source of life, our source of nourishment. Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. This is a life-filled, this is chock full of vitamin L, vitamin life. All right? Now, the Bible, I want you to think of it this way. The Bible is God's resume. What does a resume contain? It reveals his history, his experience, his background, his character. It gives us attributes and qualities of God. The Bible is God's resume. It's his revelation. It's his primary way that he reveals himself to us through the Word. There's other ways, but this is the primary way. Okay? And the resume reveals whether or not someone is creative, responsible. Well, I worked here for 6 months, there for 4 months, there for 6 months. They're not too responsible. It tells whether or not a person is faithful, punctual, or diligent. You get all that from a resume? Yeah. All right? Go with me to John 17. John 17. What kind of effect does the Word have on you? Well, in order to have an effect on you, it's got to get in you. The only way it gets in you is by listening, meditating, and speaking. All right? John 17:17, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So the word, it's truth. And what's the word? How is the word going to affect you? It's going to sanctify you. It's going to cleanse you. It's going to purify you. All right? The word is a purifier. Okay? Go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Anytime that the word is taught, the power of God is there. Because teaching is one of the fivefold gifts, isn't it? And teaching was something that Jesus did, didn't he? He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Okay? So Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Isn't that interesting? "Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to a race." He's talking about the sun coming out. "His going forth is from the end of the heaven, his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Now I want you to pay close attention to verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." What kind of effect will the word have on you? It's perfect. It'll convert your soul. All right? It'll revive your soul. It's good soul food. All right? The word is good for your soul. It'll repair any harm that was done to your soul. What harm gets done in our soul? Emotions, feelings. That's the soulish realm. Our mind, how we think, how we operate. But the word is perfect, reviving the soul or repairing the soul. Amen? Your soul can be revived simply by the word. Okay, let's go on. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." God's testimony increases your wisdom. You want more wisdom? Get more word. But there's a catch. It's not just the getting that gives you more wisdom, it's the getting and the doing. Doing what you got. Doing something with what you got. What are you doing with what you have? Your faith will never go beyond the knowledge of the word. If you have a limited knowledge of the Word, your faith will be small. But here's the good news. Faith can increase. Faith is like a seed. What happens to a seed when you plant it in the ground? It grows. And when a seed grows, doesn't matter what seed, give me a seed. Name a seed. Huh? A bean. Okay? You plant one seed of a bean and you get a lot more beans than just one, don't you? Okay? And in order for that bean to be healthy, it's got to abide in the vine until it ripens, right? Because if it's severed from the vine, it will cease to grow. So what kind of effect will the Word have on you? It'll make you wise. It'll increase your wisdom. Why do you need wisdom? Wisdom helps you make the right choice and the right decision. Jesus is our wisdom. Did you know that? He said, if you lack wisdom, what should you do? Ask. And what happens when you ask for wisdom? He's going to give you wisdom. So if you lack wisdom and you ask, he's going to give it to you. So don't say that you're not wise. If you ask for wisdom, the Bible says he will give it to you. So therefore, once you ask, you have it, you're no longer unwise. So when you're faced with a problem, you should say, I'm going to figure this out because God gives me wisdom. You know, he'll make you wiser than your enemies. Sometimes the enemy can be stupid. And God will help you be wiser than your enemies. That means you can be a step ahead of your enemies. Instead of your enemy chasing you, you should be chasing him. Come on. I don't hear too many testimonies of people saying, boy, I'm really chasing the devil. I hear a lot of people say, boy, the devil's chasing me. It's time you switch positions. It's time that you allow the Word of God to give you wisdom. I mean, why should you let someone who's been defeated, stripped, and whipped chase you? Do you like being chased by a naked madman in the spirit? I mean, think about it. The devil's a spiritual streaker. He's been stripped. No arms. Okay, so he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8. The statutes or the precepts of the Lord are right. Everybody say right. Can we tell the difference between right and wrong? Yes. What's in the Bible is right. Anything else is wrong. What's in the Bible is right. God said it right here. The statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. Did you know that the Word will bring joy to your heart? The gospel is good news. It's the source of joy. Jesus said, pray to the Father in my name that your joy might be full. He wants you joyful. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy, joy, joy. How does joy expressed? Hello, I'm really joyful today. You want to share some of my joy? That's not how joy is expressed. Listen, joy ought to affect your face. Joy will cause you to make funny sounds out of your mouth. Joy might even cause you to jump up and down. Now, I bet if what was that sweepstakes, the Reader's Digest sweepstakes? Who was that? Ed McMahon. Or, yeah, that Publisher's Clearinghouse, that's right. If he was to knock on your door and tell you you just won $1 million, you could say, oh, that's great. I don't think so. Now, come on. if getting $1 million is that exciting, shouldn't the word be more exciting? Where are you going tonight? Oh, I'm going to church. What are you going to do at church? I'm going to get the word. Oh, no. Getting the word is exciting. This will affect your life. This will change your life. This will fill you. This will thrill you. It'll bring joy to you. Because God is right. God is never wrong. He's right. He's a good God. He's a loving God. There's no more. He created joy. He knows how to have fun. We serve a fun God. You can say amen. Amen. Say, our God is fun.
Our God is fun.
Anybody that plans a party 6,000 years in advance, you know he's a partier. You know he's fun. I'm telling you. He's been planning a party for 6,000 years. You know, Jesus didn't always go to Bible studies all the time. John chapter 2 said he attended a wedding. He went to a wedding party. They weren't doing a Bible study there. It wasn't a prayer meeting. It was a wedding. Come on. Our God likes to have fun. The word will affect your life by giving you joy. How will the word affect you? It'll give you joy. You can tell when someone's a little cranky. You need to take another bath under word. Maybe you need a double dip. You know, they got those ice cream cones. They stick it in the hot fudge, you know. And if they didn't cover it good enough, they got to give it a second dip. Some people need a second dip. Come out of the pickle jar and into the Jell-O jar. All right, let's go on. Still in verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Did you know that the word will help you see? You know, we pay medical research millions and millions of dollars to come up with a cure with disease, and we have the cure right here. There wasn't a disease that Jesus encountered that he didn't cure. He didn't need a telethon. He didn't need to raise millions of dollars. All he needed to do was speak. Sorry. It's anointed. You know, a friend of mine wanted to get me a shirt one time. He was going to put on a t-shirt, "Spit Happens." The word will illuminate your eyes. It'll help you see things that you never saw. The word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You know, when you got a light shining on you, you'll never run into anything because you'll see it before you hit it. But if your lights are out, how many has ever stubbed their toe because they couldn't see, you know? And you have a fit of carnality when that pain shoots up your leg or whatever. The commandment of God is pure, enlightening the eyes. He'll illuminate you. The word will help you see. What does the word show you? It shows you Jesus. It shows you how to have a better life. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life." How much? How does he want you to have life? More abundantly. An abundant life, an overflowing life, a rich life. This is the manual for a rich life right here. How will the word affect you? That depends on how you respond to it. Do you honor it? Do you listen to it? Do you give it the attention it deserves? Do you study it? You know, I mean, the word does not come through osmosis. You know, osmosis in cells, if you put a cell next to it, it'll absorb what's next to it. We can't get the word through osmosis. It doesn't come by absorption, you know. No, you got to read. You got to speak it. You got to do it. The word is a hands-on book. It's practical. You want a better marriage? find out what the Word says about marriage. God created marriage. He's got a manual about it. He's got information about marriage right here. The one who created it gave you a manual on how it should be. He said marriage is honorable. He said he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And he compares our relationship with the Lord to the relationship between a husband and a wife. Religion will blind you. How do I know? Because Jesus called the Pharisees, who were religious leaders. He said, they're the blind leading the blind, and you both fall in the ditch. I'm following the leader. Where's the leader going? I don't know. He doesn't know either. They all fall down. But the Word will help you open your eyes. It'll cause you to see things you never saw. It'll give you X-ray vision. It'll make you like Superman. You know, he could see through things. The Holy Spirit, man, he'll give you superpowers. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The respect of God, the fear of God, it's clean, it's pure, it endures forever. For how long? You're never going to need to change a light bulb in the Word. You're never going to need to replace a battery in the Word. This has got a beyond a lifetime guarantee. Think about that for a minute. It never breaks. It never does not operate. All right? I got to write something to you that I heard today. This was powerful. I was in the car, so I had to write it down. There's never been anybody who did the Word of God consistently and didn't get results. I'm going to say that one more time. I was listening to Keith Moore. He said, there's never been anybody who did the Word of God consistently and didn't get results. There's never been anybody that didn't get results who did the Word. You will never find anybody who didn't get results that did the Word. It doesn't work. The Word works all the time. It's 100% effective. There is no defect in this Word. It is perfect. It is complete. It is God speaking to you. It is powerful. It created everything that we see. It holds the world in place. How does the Word affect you? It brings so many good things. It brings you into relationship with God your Father. It restores that which was lost. It repairs that which was broken. It frees those things that were bound. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. This is the final authority. Notice what he says, verse 10, about the Word. It's more to be desired are they than gold, yes, than fine gold. The Word is more valuable than gold. Isn't it funny how we don't have a stock market indicator about the value of the Word? Because it would be a graph that never goes down. You want a sure investment? Invest in the Word. I'm telling you. It's more to be desired than fine gold. You're talking about expensive gold, good gold. It's sweeter than honey and to the honeycomb. So the Word has a taste to it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. You know, once you've tasted something good, I guarantee you that you will want more of it. I know I have. When I tasted something good, I can't just take one taste. You know, I got to have me a helping. I got to take a couple tastes. Well, you know, with the Word, you can taste and you're never going to find anything bad about it. Verse 11. Moreover, by them, by the Word, by the commandments, the laws, the statutes, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Say, great reward. Say that one more time. Say, great reward. Great reward. Is it worth keeping the word? Absolutely. The Amplified says this: God's word warns, it reminds, it illumines, and it instructs. You need instruction? We're all under construction, and we get completed by instruction. By instruction, we have construction where we can function. I just came up with that right now. And see, God's word says it has a great reward. How will it affect you? God will reward you when what? When you do the word, when you do what it says, when you obey. Jesus said, how do you know if you love me? What did he say? You love me if what? You keep my commands, you do my commands. So the only way that we can show our love for God is by doing what the word said to do. Is that easy? Not all the time. Because I guarantee you, your flesh does not want to do what the word says to do. Your spirit does. But like they were in the garden, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. You know, and sometimes it's a fight. Your spirit has to just tell your flesh, no, you're going to do this. And your flesh says, I don't want to. And your spirit says, I don't care, you're going to do it anyway. But when you take that approach to the word, you will be rewarded greatly. Who's going to reward you? God. Because when you do the word, you're honoring his son. And when you honor him, he'll manifest himself to you. And when Jesus is manifested to you, whoo, things happen. Can you say amen? And notice verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. How do you cleanse from secret faults? The word. You know, the word is a cleansing agent. God calls himself a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. You know, he'll get every stain out and he won't hurt the garment. You can wash it 1,000 times. All right? And verse 13, the word will keep you from presumptuous sins. You know, the Bible says if you hide his word in your heart, you won't sin against him. Well, how do you hide his word in your heart? Well, you got to hear it, you got to believe it, you got to receive it, and you got to do it. And you got to memorize it. Say memorize. Memorize. You mean I have to memorize? Yes. You have to memorize the word. Did Jesus, when he got up in the temple, did he know the spot where to find his calling? He looked in the book of Isaiah and he knew exactly the place that spoke about him. And he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He knew exactly where to find that in Isaiah. Now, they didn't have books in those days. They had scrolls. But he knew where to find it. So we ought to be able to find some things in the Word. Amen? Amen. Let not them have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. And then verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. At Lee University, we had to say that verse at the end of every chapel. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your Lord, your God, my strength and my redeemer. And you know what? I memorized it. You know, when I was looking for guidance, I needed direction in my life. I needed guidance in my life. You know what I did? I went to the Word, and I found scriptures that specifically talked about guidance and being directed. One of those was Isaiah 42, 16. It says, I'll lead the blind by a way that they know not. I'll lead them on paths they have not been on. I'll make darkness light and crooked things straight. These things will I do, and I shall not forsake you, says the Lord. That was one of the scriptures that I stood on to receive guidance. See, I needed guidance in my life. I didn't know what I was supposed to do with my life, so I went to the Word. And I found where it talks specifically about guidance. And guess what? I memorized those scriptures. Romans 8, 14, as many as who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I memorized those scriptures. You know what happened after I memorized those scriptures? Guess what? A real deep revelation. God guided me. Do you believe that? I studied guidance and I received guidance from the Lord. Isn't that awesome? It works. I needed guidance, so I went to the Word. I found where it talked about guidance. I got it in me. I just didn't glance at it. Oh, yeah, that talks about guidance. Oh, yeah, I'm good, Lord. You know, guide me. No. How does food get inside your body? You got to bite it. You got to chew it. You got to swallow it. And you got to digest it. And that's a process, isn't it? You don't take, the minute you take a bite, it's not into your body. It's got to go through a process of digestion. And as your body breaks it down so that every cell can use. And what it doesn't need, it gets rid of. Isn't your body awesome? God created an awesome body. But you know what? One time, I didn't know it, but I was being bound with intimidation. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know what I was facing. I was in kind of like this stupor. But then I read a book. A man had gotten a revelation about the spirit of intimidation, and he wrote a book about it. And I read that book, and it, guess what? My eyes were opened. Remember how the Word, because he pointed to scriptures that talked about intimidation. And guess what? I got set free from that intimidation that I didn't know I was under. But once I knew what it was, I got set free from it. And you know what I did? I confronted. Because that's how you got to break intimidation, is you got to confront. Now, I'm not much of a confronter. But there are times when you have to confront. There are times when you have to deal with things. And you can only do it with the Word. And believe me, that changed my life. Didn't it, my love? It changed the way I approach things. It changed my ministry. But my answer was right here in the Word. I didn't have to look anywhere else. You know, I didn't have to have a prayer chain where I call 50 people. Oh, thank God. Woo, 50 people are praying for me. I don't have to do anything. Wrong. When you say that, you're telling me that your faith is in the prayer chain and not in the Word. When your faith is in anything other than the Word, you're going to be in trouble. Peter said, desire the pure. Everybody say pure. When something is pure, it's not mixed with anything. Amen? It's straight from the source. One time when I was in New Zealand, in a town called Rotorua. Don't say that fast 10 times, let me tell you. They have a place there called Geyserland. And they have these hot pools, these hot steam things. And the original people of New Zealand, they actually cook their food in these natural steam pockets. It's amazing. But there was a river there. And that river was fed by a spring. That spring was 50 feet deep. You could see all the way to the bottom. And I don't know how many thousands of gallons it pumped out every hour, but they said that that water was 99.9% pure. And I took a cup and I dipped it into the river and took a drink. It was good water. But you see what happens? When you try to mix things with the Word, then you dilute it. You dilute its effectiveness. You want to get the concentrate, okay? You want to get the concentrated word, not something that's mixed with doubt or unbelief. If you mix doubt and unbelief with the word, it's like baking a bread that's supposed to rise, but it goes flat. Excuse me. But you see, the word is so important because the word is Jesus. And how does the word affect you? It will affect you, but you have to work with it. The effect of the word is not automatic. Oh, I'm a Christian now. You know, I can just set it on autopilot and just cruise. Yeah, you're going to crash too. No. You have to take God's word and you have to look at it every day, because that is like making tiny little adjustments. You know how a car stays or a vehicle stays on the road? Every so often you got to turn the wheel. You don't have to turn it a lot. But if you just totally take your hands off the wheel, that car is not going to go where you want it to go. You don't have your car is not kit like Knight Rider. You know, it doesn't drive automatically. You have to make daily adjustments. And the only way that you do that is you got to look to the word. Okay, how am I lining up? Okay, I'm a father, all right? Now, how am I going to be a good father? All right, let me see what the Bible says about father. You know, spare the rod and spoil the child. Does it say that? Yeah. Raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. So I've got to continually to make minor adjustments according to the word, because when something's not going right, there's only two problems. There's only two areas that cause problem, you or the enemy. There's nothing wrong with God. God, why did you do this? And God's like saying, what are you talking about? I didn't do it. It's either you or the enemy. So every day you got to do a checkup. You know, I noticed this with big rigs, with buses. Every time they stopped, they had to check the tires. They had to walk around. They had to do a series of checks, safety checks, in order to, before they could get back on that bus and operate it. Guess what? We got to do a series of checks every day. How am I lining up with the word? Do I need to make any adjustments? Do I need to change it? Oh, I didn't even think about that. I'm going to change my thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So it's important to change the way you think. How are you going to do that? You need to start thinking like God thinks. Yeah, but I thought his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Yeah, but you got an invitation to come up higher. You can come up to the penthouse. Amen? You can come up higher. Jesus said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You mean I can have the same mind that he has? Yes. You can, see, this is the kind of effect that the word has on you. It'll change you if you let it. The word, you'll find out the word does not force itself on you. You know, God is not going, you're going to get this. You know, he doesn't do that. Here's what God does. He prepares a meal. He gives you an invitation. He said, I prepared a meal. It's wonderful. He's an excellent chef. Come and dine, the master's calling. And if you choose to let that food go, God will just let it get cold. It's up to you to eat and to drink and to study, because that is the only way that the word will have an effect on your life. And I've got so much more. So much more. Let me just close with this. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And then I'll be done for tonight. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, okay, we heard, as well as unto them, the Gentiles. But the word preached did not profit them. Say it did not profit them. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now the word is profitable. It's profitable for godliness. Godliness, bodily exercises will help you a little bit, but the word of God is profitable in all things. So you've got to mix some faith. You've got to mix your belief, your trust, and your reliance on God alone with what you hear. And you got to do it. You got to practice it. For every person that says, man, that was a great message, I want to watch them over the next few weeks to see how great it really was. Because the only way that we'll be able to tell if it was so great, not because they said it, but because they start doing it. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's all I have for tonight.